Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Imagine uncovering the secrets that others missed. A hidden clue, a silent witness, a twist that changes everything. I'm Carter Roy, host of Murder True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Join me every Tuesday as we dive into a famous solved or unsolved murder case. Follow and listen to Murder True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Fourth and final hour begins. We call it the 9 o'clock stretch. Yeah, welcome to it. It is 9:06. Time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers. Where the answer is always yes, it's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Freeze warning in effect in our area and wildfires in California. More on all of that coming up. But first, we're going to touch base with our Florida Ag Commissioner, Wilton Simpson. Happy New Year, sir. Thanks for joining us.
Happy New Year, Bob. We're ready for the new year. We have brought in some cold weather and kill all the bad things, and we're going to have a great year.
I totally agree. Really, a feeling of optimism is growing. When I talk to others, especially like-minded people, everybody is feeling really pumped up. This cold weather is not going to put a damper on that. However, as the Ag Commissioner, I know you have to be so acutely aware of what the weather is doing to our ag product. Freeze warnings yesterday, today, and tomorrow here in North Central Florida. What are you seeing overall in the state of Florida? And are we as consumers going to pay more in the end?
No, you know, this is typical weather this time of year, so I don't think, this is not erratic weather. We're not going to be below freezing for weeks at a time that would set back agriculture any. And, we had a rough 2024 with the hurricanes especially, and Milton, and obviously Helene and Debbie, and depending on what part of the state you're in, we had a pretty tough go of it. But farmers are very resilient, and I think if we continue to do the things to support our farmers, the rural and family lands and the loan programs and the things that we're doing, making sure we're strengthening Greenbelt, right to farm, and those kind of things, our farmers are very resilient and will bounce back. And that's what we see. That's what we see in our strawberry industry that got hit so hard by Milton. We're going to have a bumper crop this year. We're going to have a great year. It cost, probably $4,000 or $5,000 an acre to put ourselves in that position. But that's a cost of, unfortunately, of doing business here in the state of Florida, where you have these types of problems. And hopefully for the rest of this year, we will not have freezes that would hurt the strawberry industry or further hurt the citrus industry. And we won't know that until, for the next couple months.
Well, keep your fingers crossed, because better than I do, something big goes on in Plant City around February 27th, goes through March the 9th, and I'm talking about strawberry shortcake.
Amen. Well, the strawberry festival is coming, and you've got a great fair season coming. Your state fair is coming, and so if you're listening, get a list of the fairs around each county, or in smaller areas. They generally have two or three counties, so we'll put a local county fair on those things are all about agriculture. You've got great entertainment, obviously great food in most cases. And so you get entertainment, food, you get rides, but they're there to celebrate the agriculture in their area. The Strawberry Festival is no exception to that, and you will have a major hand in all the fair projects for the kids raising steers or swine or plants or the other items they grow to participate. And it's about showing off our Florida agriculture. It's about making sure that we continue to promote agriculture in our youth, our 4-H and FFA programs. Very important to be a part of those fair type of associations. And what I'm saying more and more these days is if you want to continue to have green space in this state, support your farmers. When you go in the stores, when you see that Fresh From Florida label, please buy those products. Go there, support your Florida farmers. And Florida farmers is what keeps the vast majority of the state green.
I mentioned the shortcake because Strawberry Festival in Plant City to me means strawberry shortcake. Went years ago as a media person, and man, did they lay out the stuff for us, including this huge bowl of strawberry shortcake that still to this day, and this is, we're going back 25 years or more, I still remember it the best I've ever had, and that's why that was top of mind for me.
Well, when we talk about Fresh From Florida, I mean, that is fresh from the field straight to the Strawberry Festival. You will get some of the best strawberries anywhere in the planet those couple weeks of the Strawberry Festival.
Big and plump and juicy and sweet. Hey, let's change gears. Wildfires in California, awful. But here in the Sunshine State, and I know you've touted before, working with the forestry department and all that, we have made huge gains since we had bad fires here a couple of decades ago. In California, are they ever going to learn some of these lessons and actually utilize some of the tools that we do here on a regular basis?
You know, I would certainly hope so. And obviously, we're praying that they don't have any loss of life. And they have, they have some challenges that we don't have, right, with the mountainous terrain. Mm-hmm. And they would fight theirs. But if that were in Florida, we're so proud of Rick Nolan and our entire, Florida Forest Service team. The equipment we've been able to buy in the last couple of years, the training we've been able to afford to put our men and women through, and the safety that we and the modernization, the drones and the helicopters and the additional equipment to fight fires with. So we're very, very proud of our team. Last year, and you'll be seeing them now, so we've got controlled burn season. And last year we did about 285,000 acres of control burn, which is the most we've ever done. Control burns are a very, very important part of managing those forests and forest fires. If you do not do control burns, you get all this fuel, and when it starts, it's nearly impossible to put out if you have wind. Of course, in California, they know they're going to have strong winds this time of the year. They know that they've got the mountainous terrain. They are going to have to come up with a way to manage those forests, and they know what these things are. And what happens is you have multiple groups fighting over how to manage forests. You have your extremists that do not want any control burns or to, put the trails and paths through these forests that it would take to control them if you did get a fire. And then you have the Forest Association, and you have, the educational system, like in ours, University of Florida does a lot of work with our foresters and forest teams around the state. All those converge to come up with a plan. And so in the world that I live in as Commissioner of Agriculture, I've told our team that we are going to use control burns. We're going to do the right thing to continue to re-nurture our forests, where obviously my major concern of the wildlife corridor, to make sure that we keep that corridor properly managed. But if we do not want to have a tragic fire like what you've seen in other states and now right in California, where we have not managed our forests, we have not cut the right paths, we have not done things to manage properly, and then we have a catastrophe, and God forbid we lose any Floridians. And like I've told our teams, we're going to be very aggressive. We're going to go out and fight fires, but we're going to be very safe. We're going to go home at night. We're going to make sure that we evacuate folks. We can replace a home. We cannot replace a life. And so we've got a great team that works on those things, and I'm very proud of them. And our hearts and prayers go out to California, what they're experiencing.
Absolutely, no doubt. Hey, last question for you, Kamish. What's going on with the egg prices? They seem to stabilize. It went down a little bit. It was like, I can eat eggs again. Then all of a sudden, it was like $700 for a carton. What the heck happened to egg prices?
You mean $7, right?
Well, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's very simple. Unfortunately, just like in the citrus industry, citrus greening has decimated our citrus industry in the state of Florida, right? We went from 250 million boxes down to 15 million boxes. So the price of what is left has gone up because of supply and demand. In the egg business itself, the avian flu, H5N1, has taken out about between 25 and 30 million birds around the country. So we're in very short supply of eggs as a country. So price goes up. Obviously, some people will quit buying at a certain level. And so it's a supply and demand formula. But what's the backdrop here is avian flu is what's created this shortfall and this crisis in this country and around the world. And that's what we're working in Florida. We were very fortunate. You know, the now dairy cattle have the avian flu. So you have birds migrating from dairy farms to other farms. And if you get avian flu in a bird farm, like a chicken farm, whether it's meat or eggs or a turkey farm or things, you have to depopulate it. And so that's kind of where this has been. And it's been a crisis now for the last 2 or 3 years. Mm. And generally, that's not been the case. Generally, you'll have an avian flu outbreak once every 7, 8, 10 years. And the price will spike for, you know, 6 months, and then right. It comes right back down. This has been a continuous rotation of bird flu in facilities. And by the way, farmers around the country are getting much better at their biosecurity. I hate to say these words, but in Florida, they've done a tremendous job at biosecurity. We have not had a commercial flock to this date break with avian flu. But again, it's about biosecurity. It's about farmers continuing to be resilient and overcoming this. But that's where it's at.
All right. Well, we always appreciate your insight. Florida Ag Commissioner Wilton Simpson, stay warm, and we will talk to you again soon.
See you soon, Bob.
All righty. It is 9:17. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Don't forget the Bob Rose Show on podcast. If you ever miss some of those great interviews, download the podcast wherever you normally get those. Just click on subscribe. We've got plenty to talk about coming up, including polls and parents and Peter of Peter, Paul, and Mary. Details on the way. 97.3 The Sky.
Dana Lash.
When I say, oh, who's the typical Democrat voter? Who do you think of?
The Dana Show. Now. 10 p.m. night.
You think of the humanities college professor that wears Birkenstocks and drives an old Volvo. That popped into your head.
On 97.3 The Sky.
Good morning and welcome. It is 9:21. Your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. I'm stripping down, barely clothed. Greg, on the other hand, chattering of teeth, rubbing his arms together. He's got his favorite Al Sharpton road suit on. What do you call that? Your sweatsuit or whatever?
Oh, man. Well, there's a flashback on him of those
got things. Your name on it, Greg. Oh, that's cute.
Wait, in case I forget. God. I get lost.
Oh, it's an old radio station. That's back when, yeah. Anyway, looking
yes,
good.
Yes, they did. Back in those days, yeah.
We have to do our own, which reminds me, we should.
We
remember, we
that.
Talked about doing
oh, yeah.
our own shirts. We need to get that.
Yeah.
And you got to get me some business cards, too.
Oh, yeah.
Take it out of your allowance.
Get right on that.
Mom, tell him to take it off his allowance. All right, just a quick note. Wilton Simpson, what a great guy. I like that guy. He's our Florida Ag Commissioner. In case you missed the interview, the Bob Rose Show podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts. You can download it for free. Just click on subscribe. It's all good. But we've been talking to him on a regular basis. Got to meet him in person one time. And again, a very sincere, very nice, very knowledgeable person.
Yes.
A real conservative, real all-American guy. Really is. And I like him. He's a little too straight up potato for the Bob Rose Show. I thought he'd get me by now so I could be my silly self. Mm-hmm. And but you can tell he didn't. He didn't quite get it. Like, I'm talking about, you know, the Strawberry Shortcake Festival.
Right.
I mean, to him, it's like his business is strawberries, not shortcake. I get
right.
it. But when we go there, and a lot of people have gone there, I mean, millions of people.
Mm-hmm.
It's about strawberry shortcake. And then I said, a carton of eggs is like, you know, $700. He goes, oh, you mean $7. I was exaggerating.
He knew that. He was being funny.
You think so?
Yes.
You think that was his version of?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely. You know, and it's interesting. He's one of those guys, Kat Kamick, our congresswoman, is the same way. You can ask them anything off topic.
Oh, yeah.
And they know the answers. I mean, and I think Mr. Simpson really blew us away early on when he was becoming a regular guest on the show. You went some total direction that had nothing to do with
agriculture. I just like happened to read or see.
And he was on it. And knew the facts. And he had an answer. And he's amazing.
Yeah. No, yeah. I totally agree. Thing is with Kat, I could joke with her about anything, and because she knows me a little bit.
She's had to put up with you longer than Mr. Simpson.
Well, that's true. I mean, that's probably what it is. Yeah, it's like, oh, really?
Yeah.
I met Kat.
Like,
she was
Bob,
basically.
Really? You're going there? Yeah.
She was a kid. She was a kid when I met her.
Well, just
she was. She was working
for Ted.
She was working for Ted Yoho.
Yeah.
And I go, wow, she's a smart, smart, bright young lady. Seriously, I think she was like probably 18 when I met her. Yeah. Well, maybe she was in college. I don't know, 20. But
compared to us, she's a kid back then.
She was back then.
So, yeah.
And but yeah, so she's known me for a while. She's like, oh,
that's Bob.
I have a T-shirt.
Yeah.
Bob being Bob's.
Yes.
Betsy actually got me that T-shirt. I'm just Bob being Bob.
Yep.
So, anyway, I guess on a more serious note, I mean, it's hard to take her seriously. I mentioned this earlier. We didn't get into it. But Liz Warren sent a 33-page letter, a ranting about military and DEI, to Pete Hegseth. So the guy's not even confirmed yet. And she wants to try to rip him apart because, well, Pete, this guy... actually served in the military, actually served in combat. So he may offer a perspective a little closer to what the needs are, what the demands are of the military. He might just have an inkling. Whereas Elizabeth Warren, I mean, last time she was talking about war, she was putting paint on her face, having a powwow, and sending out smoke signals. If she had a drop of Indian blood in her, of course, she doesn't. Anyway, yeah, she's trying to school him on DEI. And so all she did, she regurgitated, and part of it, the Secretary of Defense for Human Capital and DEI senior advisor to the Pentagon. A person who, there's no need for that position, by the way. And here's part of what she said. You've claimed that the dumbest phrase on planet Earth in the military is our diversity is our strength. As noted above, you were also called for the firing of chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and any general that was involved, any general, admiral, whatever, that was involved in any of the DEI woke stuff. Additionally, you complained in the War on Warriors that a woke military emphasizes the made-up military values of diversity and inclusion and fails to recruit masculine men who make up our warrior class. Okay, Elizabeth Warren, senator. She's senator.
Yeah.
I know you don't like that is true, but our warrior class is made up of masculine men.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that women could never be effective in combat. That's not what he's saying. But the vast majority will continue to be masculine men. Look, you can't make it as a special operator, a Navy SEAL, a Green Beret, if you're wearing lipstick. It's just, it doesn't work that way.
No.
You want people who can take on a deadly, intense mission and get the mission done, and that takes huge amounts of skill, expertise, and some things that you just can't train somebody in, and that is called the warrior spirit. And fortunately for us, we have plenty of Americans who have that warrior spirit.
They're not worried about their makeup.
No.
No.
These are sheepdogs. They're people that protect the rest of us. It's a good thing. It's not toxic, Senator. Don't be afraid of it. It's a good thing. She doesn't understand that. She can't comprehend it. And it doesn't go along with her politics. Now, guess what? The more politics you pour into warfare, the less successful you're going to be in warfare. That I can guarantee you. 928 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, 15 minutes away from things that make you smile. It's all good. It's all coming your way. We're optimistic. We're loving it. And we're trying to stay warm on News Talk 97.3, The Sky.
The stories that matter.
The Republican Party now reflects the country.
Every day.
This is a mandate to change the way Washington works.
All day.
Isn't it nice to win? It's nice to win.
On 97.3, The Sky.
Day one promise, mass deportations.
What happened?
Tom Homan, borders are...
What it means.
Get the hell out of the way, because we're coming.
What's next?
Florida U.S. Senator Marco Rubio.
Mike Waltz, National Security Advisor.
A transition that's so smooth.
24/7.
The news station.
News Talk 97.3, The Sky.
Wintertime winds blow cold this season.
It's sort of cold.
Need to know how to dress.
This guy tells me.
The only station I listen to.
Winter's so cold.
When the wind blows cold, you need to know.
We get some winter here.
97.3, The Sky.
All my bags are packed. I'm ready to go. I'm standing here outside your door. I hate to wake you up to say goodbye.
Meanwhile, I'm snorting antidepressants.
The dawn is breaking, it's early morning.
It's a sad song.
He's waiting, he's blowing his horn. Already I'm so lonesome.
I think I'm going to cry, Greg.
I could cry.
Apparently they could too. Why?
So kiss me and smile for me. Tell me that you'll wait for me. Hold me like you'll never let me go. I'm leaving on a jet plane. I don't know when I'll be back again.
The joke's on Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Yeah.
The joke's on that. You're leaving on a jet plane? I'll see you for 4 hours on the tarmac, babe.
Yeah.
Yeah,
hey,
the state
thing.
Of air travel today, yes. These days, especially with the frozen weather headed through the Mid-Atlantic and Midwest before that. But Peter Yarrow, the singer-songwriter, as part of Peter, Paul, and Mary, has died at the age of 86. That is one of their well-known songs, probably almost as well-known as... Toke the Magic Bong Band.
Puff the Magic Dragon.
What is it?
Puff the Magic Dragon.
Oh, I knew they were puffing on something.
Do you know who actually wrote Leaving on a Jet Plane?
Leaving on a...
You will never get
it. Was it a guy?
Okay.
Bob Dylan.
No, but a lot of people think so because he had written, I guess, a hit or two for them.
Yeah.
John Denver. He was like 23 years old when he wrote that thing.
I know him as John Duchendorf.
Well, you know, y'all go
little
way
Johnny
back.
Little Johnny Duchendorf.
Oh, yeah. He wrote that.
I liked his music, but you know, when you hear it now,
yeah,
you go... That doesn't sound like anything else we were listening to in pop top 40 music.
Right.
It just...
It was very unique. Yeah. Got some country airplay, but he had that country folky feel. Had him by the studio at a station I worked at years ago. And he, very personable. You know how it was back in the day when we were doing music radio? You're going to meet an artist and you're like... Okay, are they going to be, you know, like a real stiff? Are they going to be okay? They're going to be real. He was awesome. It was actually a lot of fun.
How many millions of lives did he save by alerting people about skin cancer? You know, he warned us about sunshine on his shoulder.
Yes, he did.
Oh, I don't get a rim shot for that.
I had no idea.
He went for the rim shot and didn't give it to me.
No, I took my hand away.
You're mean. You're a mean man.
2025.
It would have sounded funny.
Yeah.
Remember, if you make it sound like a yuck fest and everybody's laughing.
Thus soundtracks back in the day on TV shows, yeah.
But and still some current radio shows. Not heard in this market, though.
Yeah.
But they're out there.
But yeah, but you got to figure when they were having the hits, it was a few years ago. So they're all, those that are left. Are they all left? Who all has left the building of Peter, Paul, and Mary? I hadn't thought about that.
Well, I don't know if he was 86.
Yeah.
Anyway, Puff the Magic Dragon was a huge hit. And yes, the controversy was it about drugs or not? At that time, and you're doing a song of all the... The Magic Dragon could have been named a lot of things, you know?
Yes,
Tony, right. The Magic Dragon lived on pasta. You know, see?
Right.
Right?
Could have
been
not,
that. Could have been Tony.
It's only, huh? It's only the Magic Dragon.
It could have been Murph the Magic Dragon, lived by the brewery. You see how I did that?
I see.
See how I could have made it anything. But they chose to make it Puff.
It's also another special day.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog.
Puff the hound dog.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog. Crying all the time.
See, he's looking out for the Humane Society when he sang that.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
How many hound dogs did he save?
Oh, my goodness. Some people like sent him stuffed dogs like crazy after that.
Happy birthday, Elvis Presley, 90.
Yes.
And also celebrating his, 11th birthday when he got himself a guitar.
He wanted either a rifle or a bicycle. And I'd say the guitar worked out for him.
And then later on, he liked rifles, bicycles, Harleys, mansions.
All kinds of stuff.
But you got to put the guitar first. See how that worked out?
It is hard to imagine a 90-year-old Elvis considering him passing at 42.
He ain't nothing but a hound dog.
But then we see the Stones out there. Who thought the Rolling Stones would outlive Elvis?
Yeah. Elvis is doing martial arts. Keith Richards finished another 8-ball and a 12-pack.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Who's going to live a long time, Elvis?
Man.
He was fit, too. And I know some martial artists who didn't know him personally, but know the people who taught him and interacted with him.
Yes.
And
he took it serious.
He was no super, he didn't.
No,
for the amount that he put into it, apparently he was pretty good.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hearing.
We all can't be Bruce Lee or Steven Seagal.
Easy now. I don't know. I guess us talking about it. No, this is serious.
Yes.
My phone's over here so it can hear everything.
Yes. Oh, no.
We joke about Steven Seagal. And we had been lately. I don't know why it came up, but more and more. And now, when I'm going through my news feeds, I'm not exaggerating when I say every 20th or 30th frame is a Steven Seagal a video.
Are you serious?
In a little little training vignette, a little 3-minute thing where the guy's coming through and he's showing the
attack.
And
it's not like you're searching him. We're just literally joking about the movies.
And it's popping up. Yeah.
Man, that, you know.
So now I'm wondering, it's a good thing Trump won, because otherwise they'd be going, man, this guy's a Trump supporter, and he's, he's watching Russia's favorite, son.
That's true. Oh, no.
Put me in a category, I'd be on the FBI watch list.
Well, if you ask the left, Trump will be hanging out with Putin and Steven Seagal,
Let's see. All right. So Paul and Mary. And yes, he is. Rest in peace. Rest in peace. And they had a folksy.
The whole John Denver sound. I mean, that was kind of folk had its genre.
Folk
that actually got airplay back then.
Yep. Majority of U.S. parents support reducing the size and influence of the U.S. Department of Education polling that was released. Now, this is a pro-parent, looking out for parents' rights organization, but, they claim the poll is on the up and up.
Yeah.
And, it's not a huge majority. 52% of parents back scaling back the Department of Education. 45% oppose doing so. 3% are unsure and are not even wondering why you asked those questions, because they really didn't have kids in school.
Yeah.
But this is a good sign. I think you want to empower on the local level, in education. And not just the local level, but really the localist, and that is the parents. That is really at the heart of the matter. Parents that have an understanding how important it is to prepare your child for entering school, and then assisting, pushing them, and helping them through the process in the ongoing years. That's what's lacking. In a lot of cases, it's a culturally tinged kind of an issue. It's not a dollar and cents issue. It's not about throwing money at it. A teacher making 120 grand isn't necessarily better than one making 47,000. It just doesn't work that way.
Right.
A decaying old building isn't going to prevent somebody from learning who really wants to learn.
Right.
And a shiny new building isn't necessarily going to motivate a child who is not wanting or not, you know, open to that and not, you know, they don't want to cooperate. So I think it really is got to listen to the parents. You've got to empower the parents. The parents need to take on the heavy responsibility that goes with being a parent and getting them ready for education and getting them excited about learning. It doesn't mean every kid has to be going to college, but you want to acquire enough skills so that no matter what you plan to do with your future, you're able to take on at least the basic tasks of life, right?
Yeah.
They could do a better job in school, too. I don't know exactly what they're up to now that, well, I only have one kid left in school, Robbie. But I don't know what they're up to now, but I always thought that they should be talking to kids about saving, investments, even managing a checkbook, for instance. There's a lot of those things that I know. I think they do have a class now, like life skills or something.
They should, but it seemed like they got away from a lot of real-world activity there for a while. When we were growing up, you had shop, and you had all those kind of things. And maybe you had a Votech, you know, connected to your school system, so you could, you know, take some trade job, electronics or whatever the case may be. But you just, I don't know, I think we went through a spell where, you know, is that push, you know, go to college. And people have realized not every kid is, you know, wants to be a collegiate whatever. And just learning a real trade is a whole lot smarter for them.
Or, yeah, you could get a degree in philosophy, or you can go to HVAC school, and yeah, 5 years later, guess who's making a really good income?
Mm-hmm.
It's not the philosophy major.
No.
Again, parents could help maybe direct some of that.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe just hope your kid has a stroke and wakes up smarter.
It doesn't happen all that often, but it does once in a while.
Every once in a while, lightning strikes.
Mm-hmm.
Senator John Fetterman, an example of somebody who came back from a stroke better than they were before.
Crazy.
I don't know. Maybe it'll be a movie someday. We can rebuild him. We can make him better than he was. We can make him faster, stronger. Yeah.
Loved that show.
Senator John Fetterman, using common sense.
Again?
Crazy. The Democrats are really going to hurt him soon.
They hate him. I think he's a big guy because I don't think most of them can take him.
So they want, yeah, that's true. Well, he's always wearing like a wrestling outfit anyway. He's got a sweatshirt on. He's like, yeah, I'm ready to rumble, man. Who's ready to go?
Uh-huh.
Let's go. Senator John Fetterman described recent talks about the United States acquiring Greenland as being a responsible conversation.
Hmm.
They want to lampoon President Trump for saying anything about Greenland. But during an interview on Fox News, Fetterman admitted that while he would never support taking Greenland by force, and neither would anyone else.
No.
It would be a responsible conversation to talk about acquiring Greenland from Denmark, maybe buying it outright. He even laid out the idea. He goes, you know, this isn't bonkers. He said, Jefferson bought Louisiana Purchase.
Yeah.
Andrew Johnson bought Alaska. I mean, these things have been done. And, yeah, what'd we pay? $50 million for Louisiana Purchase?
Good deal.
Yeah. It's worth a little more than that.
Yeah, probably so.
All right. So there you go. You ready for things that make you smile? You ready for upbeat, positive thoughts? I am. Call in now, 877-975-9825 for things that make you smile. Robin Larson Dental is now Transformation Dentistry with Dr. Samantha Annis. Same location, same great care, and now sponsoring Things That Make You Smile, which is coming up next on 97.3 The Sky.
And no references to Gutfeld accepted.
Thank you, John.
The Sean Hannity Show.
You know, everybody on fake news CNN hates Trump.
Afternoons at 3.
Yet one thing they've not been able to accomplish, separating Donald Trump from the base that no other political candidate has.
On News Talk 97.3, The Sky.
Oh, we need to smile, don't we? It is 9:53 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Time for Things to Make You Smile, brought to you now by Transformation Dentistry and Dr. Samantha Annis. 877-975-9825. Call in now. Rosebud, what's making you smile?
What's making me smile, Bob, and you're talking about this is Elvis's birthday, and you're talking about eggs back in 1980 or 81. My wife put in she wanted to go to Elvis's shack up there in Memphis to see Elvis's shack. Well, I said, okay. I took a load of eggs right here, Lake Butler, Hillendale Egg Company. to a little town between Memphis and Little Rock on 40, on top of a mountain, a very religious community. It was called Rosebud, Arkansas. It's funny, it's coming some full circle. Dropped the load up there. They didn't want to leave. The man wanted to take me fishing on the back of his egg farm because his egg operation, he had a lake. My wife said, I want to go see Elvis. We went down to Elvis. Elvis' shack was closed. So I ended up in Nashville. But it was a beautiful place. You know, you can see it from the outside. God bless America. I'm still alive. God is good. Thank you, Jesus, for giving us the Trump win. And you people have a nice day. God bless America.
God bless you, Rosebud. Russ, what's making you smile?
Good morning, guys. What makes me smile, one, is Rosebud. He's a character, that's for sure. But the other thing that makes me smile, and I know I'm speaking for all your listeners, I'm just so happy you guys are back on the air after this last couple of days. I was going crazy trying to get my political junkie fixed. So I'm happy to hear you guys are back to work.
Well, thanks. That makes us smile, too. It's nice to be needed. Yeah. Let's go to Horse Sense. What's making you smile?
Yeah, good morning, guys. The same here. Makes me smile that you guys are back safe and sound. That's great. But you actually made me chuckle yesterday, Bob, the way you disciplined John. You did that to me years ago, and you called me and said, oh, you're nothing but a big whiner. I got over it, and John will get over it, too. I'm sure he sounds like a big boy. But thank you, guys. God bless you, and have a great day.
God bless you for hanging in there.
Yes.
Let's go to Mark. Good morning. What's making you smile?
Hey, what's making me smile is when you did your coverage of Puff the Magic Dragon, it immediately brought to mind the other drug song from Beatles, Sgt. Pepper's Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. It's supposed to be like about an acid trip.
LSD.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Naughty Mark.
Yeah, look where your mind went, Mark. Wow.
Quit staff a search engine for a while, will you? Just kidding. Thanks for everybody and their fine contributions on the Bob Rose Show, specifically things that make you smile. Thanks to Transformation Dentistry and Dr. Samantha Annis. But don't go anywhere. We're not done yet. Coming up next, it's The Smoking Gun, brought to you by Lawful Defense and Shoot GTR.
Trending right now on The Sky.
New Orleans terror.
A vicious attack on innocent Americans celebrating New Year's.
3:15 a.m. on Bourbon Street.
As it happens.
He posted videos on social media.
IEDs were found.
The ISIS flag was found in his vehicle.
It's New Orleans right now, but are there other cities?
The news station.
A blast in a Tesla Cybertruck at the entrance to the Trump International Hotel in Las Vegas.
News. Updates every half hour. Breaking news at once on News Talk 97.3, The Sky.
Time now for The Smoking Gun, brought to you by Lawful Defense and Shoot GTR. Horrific wildfires broke out, one specifically in Pacific Palisades, amid an ongoing windstorm. Could be the worst to hit L.A. since 2011. That caused millions in damage. They are suffering now mass power outages, uprooted trees. Authorities began to evacuate homes. So people are leaving, and one's like, hey, I don't know a lot of the cops in this area, but he looks familiar. That's because he played a cop in the movies, Steve Guttenberg. Remember him from Police Academy? He actually was help directing traffic firefighters as they were trying to fight the blaze in his neighborhood. So there you go. Sometimes a movie role can come in handy. And that's your Smoking Gun, brought to you by Lawful Defense and Shoot GTR. On behalf of Greg, I'm Bob. God bless you and your family. Have a great day. See ya.